Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
All right, so get excited. Today we introduce a new feature on the show. It's called the Ladies Room. I have no idea where I'm going to fit into this, but I'm not going to be one of those creepy dudes that comes into a ladies room with Tracy. So stand by for details on
Gross.
That. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, but you named it the Ladies Room. And we get to hang
yeah,
out with
for
you.
For a reason.
We're hanging out with you at the intersection between personal and business growth. What's the easiest way to listen to us? Well, you decide. I Googled us this morning, Journey to There, and what came up? JourneyToThere.com and iTunes comes up first, but there's also Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, whatever app or website works out best for you. All right, so we kick off the new feature called The Ladies Room with a guest that you, the listener, have been hearing about over the course of, 80-plus episodes, and I have a bio here.
Well, let's before we introduce our guests, I think we ought to introduce the concept so people understand.
I wish you would, because
what do you think about that?
I've got to figure out if I'm going to hang out here in the studio or in the ladies room with you, whatever the case may be.
Well, you will not be in the ladies room, which is the reason for said episode title, name, and feature. Yeah. So, in the Journey to There journey of expanding our show and exploring even a deeper dive into the intersection between personal and business growth, this year, I have decided to add in what I call ladies room episodes. And what that means, Russ, is that I am going to be selecting specific guests and specific topics that, well, let's just say that you might only talk about those things when you go to the ladies room with, let's say, your best friend, and you have something that you want to talk about that you don't want any of the men in your life to overhear, so
I got
to speak.
I got you.
And so I, of course, could not kick off a ladies room episode with anybody better who knows me better than my very best friend. Ah. So now you can do the bio.
Can I read this bio here? Okay.
Yes.
So stand by for this, ladies and gentlemen. This is an interesting one. Actually, this one deserves some cheesy background music. There we go. Okay, so her name is Tamara Dabney Jacobs.
I sent it to you phonetically.
You know what?
But Tamara.
First of all, I've never called her that before, and I don't see an accent mark over the A. So Tamara. Tamara Dabney Jacobs. Did I say it right?
You have to ask her.
If you could call me Tammy.
That's what we're hold on. We're getting there, Tammy, because it's otherwise known as Tammy, Tam, and the Tamster, who also operates under the professional alias Turbo Tam, and she's widely recognized in the radio business for her long, successful career of kicking salespeople's butts into gear. Now, she's renowned in her field for cold calling on clients as a way to blow off steam. Tammy moved to Nashville in 2001 to up her game. She successfully sold commercial inventory for high-profile sports organizations like the Tennessee Titans and Nashville Predators, without even knowing anything about sports or sports programming. This expertise was... I didn't write this, Tammy. This expertise was a carryover from being named the VIP of her high school basketball team, even after scoring points for the opposing team by using their basket instead of hers. Tammy is...
I missed that shot.
One shot, and she's never going to live it down. Tammy is born creative. She's a lyricist and a poet, and although you might not know it, nice, songs she's written have been featured in Ford commercials and other ads for famous household names. Now, while in Nashville, she was courted by many up-and-coming artists like Keith Urban, but it was the keyboard player of the 80s hair band Winger, Paul Taylor, that ultimately stole her heart. They happily are married and can often be seen at Nashville's hottest spot, the Wild Iris. Tammy has an obsession with tomatoes, so when she left the radio business to start her own marketing agency, it was a natural fit to call her new business Red Tomato Marketing. This is a mouthful, Tracy. Tammy continues to write songs. Her future number one hit, or hits, include I Don't Even Like My Dog, written for artist Blake Shelton, and the song Me and the Neon for his ex, Miranda Lambert. Both songs were inspired by her best friend of 34 years, Tracy Long DeForge.
Wow. That is hilarious. This is my first podcast, so I was covering my mouth, laughing very silently because I didn't know if it was appropriate. You got me.
Well, I had to write a bio that I felt like would be appropriate for the episode. And half the fun was writing it. So I can't even imagine what this episode's ultimately going to be like. But hey, welcome to the very first Ladies Room episode, Tamara Dabney Jacobs, otherwise known as my best friend, Tam.
The Turbo
Thank
Tam.
Thank you so much.
All right. I do want to do
that I get the opportunity to write a bio in some future episode.
You know what?
We'll save that for later.
I would love, Tammy, for you to write a bio for Tracy that I could read on an upcoming episode. Okay, so Tracy, before you kick me out of the studio and head into the ladies' room, I've got a little game, a little trivia thing I want to do with the two of you, because you're friends for so long, and it's a little game called Three Questions. I'm going to ask each of you three questions relating to your past with each other, and we're going to see how well you really do know each other.
Kind of like the Newlywed Game or something? We've been accused of being Edith and Archie many times.
Oh boy, you're really dating us. Edith and Archie. Wow, all right.
What was the name of that show?
It was All in the Family.
Oh yeah, from All in the Family. Yes,
we've been accused of that.
As we have bickered through the years of being called Edith and Archie. But anyway,
I
have no idea what's in store, Tam. Sure you probably don't know what's in store, but here we go.
All right, question one for Tammy. Tammy, all right, what color is the mini skirt you will not leave home without?
Pink.
Oh, she got it.
That's easy.
All right, question one for Tracy. One night before going out in high school, what was the item of clothing that I could not find?
Oh my God, your pink mini skirt!
Looks like we picked the same questions.
Okay. All right. Well, that was easy.
By the way, folks, they had no idea what questions were going to be coming up here. I was the only one privy to the questions. All right, question two for Tammy from Tracy. What is the name of the business you and Tracy were going to start together?
DC Capri.
Very good. Very nice. That's
Yay!
2 points for Tammy. Let's see if we can get another point for Tracy.
I almost asked that question.
Really? Question two for Tracy from Tammy. In college, on one of our first big road trips to Atlanta, what did I fear most about the drive?
Oh, I think I'll be able to answer this one. Yes, so we were headed to Atlanta from South Carolina, and Tammy had been told that when you arrive and going into the city of Atlanta that you have to drive on an 8-lane highway. And, I mean, technically it's true.
It is.
Because there are 8 lanes going into Atlanta. And us being from Roanoke, Virginia, where 2-lane roads were pretty much our game. We were incredibly nervous and we kept going, okay, it's got to be coming up. It's got to be coming up. 8 lanes, it's got to be coming up. But, you know, we weathered it well.
Tracy, what's the fear of 8 lanes?
We had never driven 8 lanes before.
I thought it was 8 lanes going one way and 8 lanes going the other. So I was thinking it was a 16-lane highway and that there were going to be trucks. And I had never driven in a major city before by myself.
Wow.
And this is the first time I'm actually hearing that part of the story. So it just goes to show, no matter how long you've been friends with someone, I just literally thought that she was going to be intimidated by the 8 lanes. I didn't know she was thinking it was 16 lanes. That's even scarier. So who knew?
Okay, so she got that one right, Tammy?
Absolutely.
All right, question three for Tammy. What is the one item you were always looking for at work and could never find it?
My pen. Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me just tell you, Russ. She never, ever, ever, never had her pen, except for when it was behind her ear.
I was going to say, where was it?
People, where it was.
Well, right. Let me tell you that the iPhone has done wonders for me. I no longer need a pen.
Yeah, I agree with you
Except
there.
Except for that when you're looking for your phone and you're on it. No, actually, that wasn't me. Never mind.
All right, Tammy's 3 for 3. Question 3, last question for Tracy. Moving forward in...
I'm nervous.
I want to see something challenging. You guys, you'd think you were twins. Moving forward in our professional life, what was the tech item that I kept long past its due date? Was it a beeper? What the heck?
How appropriate you would ask this question after the discussion around the iPhone, because Tam was a really big fan of the bag phone.
Oh, gosh. And you used to use a bag phone, Tracy.
Yes, I used to use a bag phone when there were no other options, and they were plugged into your car. Tammy, on the other hand, kept using the bag phone after the flip phone was announced into technology and carried it around like a
bag. I was using a bag phone when the Razor was out, okay?
Oh, the Motorola Razor. And that was high tech. Tracy or Tammy, if you can just explain to some of our younger listening audience, what is a bag phone?
I'll take that one since I owned one for about 4 years. A bag phone, back in the day, you didn't have a cell phone that was, you had to plug in. So you had to... It was a phone. It was a car phone that plugged into your lighter, and you could talk on the phone while you were in the car. Maybe a little bit while you were out of the car, but it stopped charging the second you unplugged it. So it did not have a battery life.
The cord to the bag phone was like 6 inches. You couldn't take that thing out of the
Tammy.
Car.
Tammy.
It was also you could carry it out. It came in a huge bag, like almost like a little mini briefcase. So you would zip it up and carry your bag phone with you.
Tammy, look around where you're at right now. In your field of vision, do you see a bag phone right now? Because I'm gonna.
I do not. I'm looking. I do not see one anywhere.
You don't see. You don't see a Motorola Razor phone either, do you?
No.
I would like to piggyback upon the story and also say that Tammy, as you could tell, Russ, as she was helping you produce our show while we were off the mic, Tammy likes to be direct and in charge. And when one would question her about why she was still using the bag phone, she said, and I quote, "It's a way better signal than the ones on those flip phones."
I will expound on that and say that the bag phone had a 3-watt signal, and the new cell phones that were out had like a 0.6-watt signal. So the bag phone was a superior signal at the time.
She also
had to have a little antenna on the back of your car to get that signal.
She was technically correct. However, she was also writing checks when everyone else was doing online banking. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying.
All right.
Notice in that bio, it did not say technology tale.
No, but I'm pretty impressed she knew that it was 3 watts as opposed to point whatever watts that our phones are now.
Well, no one's going to catch this one off guard. Mm-mm.
All right. So as we put this train back on the rails, on the track, Tracy, let's go into the ladies' room where I'm not allowed in so we can...
Yeah. But thank you for that nice icebreaker and getting everyone to get to know the real Tammy, because I think, you know, it's one of those things where people have said, does she exist? Is she real? And so now everybody knows. And we're going to go and chat about friendships and sustaining friendships and how important friendships are. And but we love you too, Russ. You're one of our good friends.
I know you do. And I appreciate that.
Thank you, Russ.
Yes, Tammy. It's a pleasure having you on the show. I will I will be back when you girls do your girl thing and you're done with it and some
he doesn't even know what to say. Hey,
some manliness is ready to come back into the show.
We'll meet you back at the table after we go put our lipstick on. How about that?
Oh gosh, you sounds good. All right, you guys have a great time.
Okay.
Thanks.
So Tam. First question, are you still speaking to me after your bio?
I am still speaking to you, and I'm already coming up with your bio.
Oh, okay. Well, we have after we do each episode, we post show notes on the website for each episode. So you can write the bio, and we will post it, and we'll maybe even have you read it and do an encore performance. But I'm really excited to do these ladies' room episodes. We We cover some great topics on Journey to There, but I've just really felt like for the last year or so that there's some topics and just some girl things that girls want to talk about that not necessarily are comfortable even. And so we're not going there today, but they're for the listeners who have not heard anything about the Ladies Room episode so far because they're so new. My design for them, my vision for them is for us to have a place to talk about things that could range anywhere from hormones to fertility issues to anything just maybe just a little bit more privacy oriented or more comfortable spoken about with just the girls. So I felt like we could always go into the Ladies Room and be able to have those types of conversations. But today we're keeping it light. I think the fact that we almost had the same questions, not that that surprises me. I think that's pretty hysterical though.
Yes.
And I guess I want the audience to know too, that one of the reasons that has really spurred this thought in my mind around long-term friendships and how important they are and how you have to really have to work at them to keep them sustainable has come up recently because I had the opportunity to, a member of my family actually had the opportunity to downsize recently and they relocated. And when they were relocating, they found an entire shoebox full of letters that Tammy and I had exchanged while we were in college. And
back before text for those millennials listening.
Back before fax, back before the bag phone, actually.
Yeah.
And it was such a fun experience because Tammy actually I do not live in Nashville, so Tammy and I don't actually get to see each other as much as we would like. And social media, as everyone experiences, makes you feel as if that you have been in touch with somebody or that you feel close to somebody, but that's really more of a digital misperception, actually. And what I really want to talk about today is digging deeper into real friendships and why they're good for you and how to keep them sustainable. And when we discovered those letters, we were together a couple of weeks ago in Atlanta and I brought the box of letters and we read them out loud. And unfortunately for Tammy, she doesn't have the box of the letters on the other side. So she got the bad end of the stick in terms of laughing at each other. But it really sparked something in me because it made me realize that not only have we been friends since 1984, according to, I think, the letters, but also just how much our lives have changed from being that junior and senior in high school till now we're turning almost, I'm turning 50 this year. You still have another year, which that sucks for me, but whatever. And I think that I just wanted to hear maybe one of the things that you remember, like maybe one of the things that you remember about the earliest maybe memory of our friendship. How about that?
Okay. Well, first of all, I thought I was so mature at 17, 18, you know, until you read me those letters. And my memory of my maturity level was obviously very skewed. But yeah, one of the first memories of you is going on a double date with our respective boyfriends and me not knowing you very well. And I don't know why I was eating popcorn when we knocked on the door to get in the car to go wherever we were going. But I offered you some popcorn and you took some. I said, hi,
that's
I'm Tammy.
Right.
Want some popcorn? Woo,
yep,
what an intro.
Hey, yep, that is exactly how I remember it too.
Yeah, that was one of my first memories. And I mean, I will say that it is interesting because we worked together for a long time and we were just, you know, we went to school together. We grew up in Roanoke together. We went to high school together. We kind of separated from college, but we kept in touch very well, obviously, through said letters. And then we worked together for a long time. And when we, you know, kind of became apart, it was, you know, it did take effort and we, you know, had to pick up the phone and call each other. And you're right, social media does keep you connected, but we still always make an effort to pick up the phone and have a conversation, because you can't get the nuances and the personal information and really have a, you know, you can do something funny and snarky on social media, but it does not substitute for a real phone call or a real visit or what we did in Atlanta, cracking up about those letters.
That's so true. So and knowing that we were going to be doing this show together, I was reading an article in HuffPost, and the title of the article is 5 Secrets of People with Lifelong Friends. And so I thought, okay, well, this will be interesting. I'll see if we pass this test. Well, in my opinion, we already passed the test because we were able to answer each other's random newlywed game questions. But the Irene Levine, the PhD psychologist, is creator of the Friendship blog, and she writes, lifelong friends not only know the person you are, but also the person you were. Having that shared history makes it easier to communicate in shorthand. They understand your roots and may have been witness to other important people and events in your life. And that I can attest for sure in all levels. And I love that you brought up the work relationship, because one of the things that a lot of people say, I mean, they say it about your spouses and they say it about your friends, like, don't work with your best friends because it can compromise the relationship. And we were, when you were available to be hired by the company that I was working for at the time, I remember we had some really long conversations about the fact that, like, well, we had been competing against each other in radio sales in the same market for a number of years. You were selling TV, I was selling radio, but we were competing for the same amount of ad business. And my opinion was, I'd rather have you working with me because you were so good at what you did than working against me. But at the same time, we were very concerned about, like, how could that affect the friendship that we had built for so long. And I think that one of the things that we did that was so powerful, and I'll never forget, is that we made a deal at the very beginning that whatever happened inside the office, that we left that at the office. And that served us so well for a number of years as we both managed sales teams and worked in operations and with promotions and things like that, because we could shorthand finish each other's sentences, and we got made fun of a lot for that, I remember, because we could bust out laughing at anything and people would be like, what are they talking about? But we also had pretty fierce competitive natures about us. I would handle accounts like Pepsi. You would handle, you would handle Pepsi. I would handle Coke and Budweiser and Miller. And we were always fighting for the real estate on the radio, so to speak, that was best for our clients. But then we would just go out right after and go have drinks or go have dinner. And it was like nothing had ever challenged us. And I think that's pretty rare, but pretty special.
Yeah, I agree. And that is really important. And as I've gone from a radio rep to an agency, I've experienced the same thing in Nashville, where, you know, people I used to work side by side with, I'm now beating up over rates and things like that. And, you know, same deal, you know, business is business, friends are friends. So you do have to keep them separate. And if you can't, then you shouldn't do business with friends. But, you know, it takes a little practice and it takes, you know, some determination. But if you can do it, it is a great thing to do.
I have to say, in this article, they were talking about what were the some of the secrets to friendships being sustainable. And probably, and I've read 2 or 3 different things on this topic, and I would say the one common denominator, the one key to success, if you will, for friendships that have stayed friends as long as we have, is that the thing I think that kept coming up repeatedly was, don't expect your friends to be perfect, and you stay friends the longest because you are willing to overlook each other's faults. And I mean, in my opinion, you're perfect. I don't really think you have any faults.
Well, I mean, hello, I am.
And of course, me too. So I don't really think we've ever had that issue because we've always been each other's biggest fan, right? But
that's not to say
that it hasn't been important to keep expectations in check. And I think for us especially, we have always had respect for each other as individuals. We've had respect for each other professionally. We've never dated each other's boyfriends or husbands, thank God. And that's never been an issue. Because that could have been a deal breaker. Glad that was never an issue. But we have also, I feel like, have always been able to always know that we could count on each other. And that's something that has held true and powerful for me all of these years in terms of, like, I know Grey's Anatomy used to have the show, they would always talk about the Meredith Grey and her friend would always say that they were each other's person. And I think it's in life, it's so important to have somebody that you can count on as your person that you know has known you the longest. And even though we're not sisters in terms of, you know, blood related, I feel like we're sisters in the bond because we know so much about each other. In fact, we can even be each other's memories. I know I've called you a couple times, you've called me a couple times and been like, can you remind me why?
Yes. And I won't finish that sentence.
Yeah, exactly. Some of the things that we have had to support each other through, we will leave off of the we'll leave the examples to be far more generic. How about that?
Correct. And so, having blackmail information does, you know, create strong friendships as well too.
Well, exactly. How do you think I got you to do the show in the first place? But I will say another key to the components of friendship is definitely trust. And so you had to trust me to know that if I had you come and be live on our show, that I would not do anything that would be disparaging or reveal any of our deepest, darkest in the vault secrets, right?
Well, the show isn't over, but I'm trusting that you won't.
I know. I know that Russ is dying out there, like wanting to know when he can come back in. But we have a couple more things that we
I'm still putting my lipstick on.
Exactly. He's probably like, what are y'all doing in there? So the other thing that the article mentioned was, and we hit on this a little bit in the beginning, which is making time for each other. And I feel like the best of friends are the ones that no matter how much time has gone by, whether it's been a day, a week, or a month, that you real solid friendships like the ones that we share should be and have always been in our case, that you can just pick up the phone no matter what and it feels like it was just yesterday when you were talking. But I also know that the challenges of the digital technology in this world, the Instagrams, the Facebooks, the posts, the messages, things like that, like it does give you this artificial sense of security around relationships and what's going on behind the scenes. But I also think that one of the things that we did, and I think it's a happy accident, but there are certain times of the year. Like, for example, I know that you get really sad when seasons change because you're a summertime girl, I'm a fall girl. And so whenever daylight savings occurs or the winter solstice arrives or it's the last day of summer, then I always make sure that I send you a text or now,
yes.
Now a text. But before it was a phone call and then it was
correct.
A letter. And I think like if you can build milestones and benchmarks and things that you celebrate with each other along the way. So in all of those years, there's always been a day like savings time hour. There's always been a winter solstice. There's always been a, you know, Labor Day that marks the end of summer. And no matter where we were in our lives during that time, whatever was happening on those specific days, whether they were good or bad, when we would have that milestone that we connected on that would supersede anything, then we always knew that that could either make us laugh more if it was a happy day or just bring out a laugh if it was a sad day. So I think celebrating those benchmarks along the years and creating those memories is something that helps keep everything sustainable. And one of the last points that they made, and I guess we'll make before we have to exit our very fun ladies' room conversation, is that people who have the friendships that have exceeded and met and just gone far beyond any barriers of growth over the years like ours has, is that they appreciate the bond. And there are probably no words that I can express, and I'm not going to get emotional, but there's no words that I can express of how much I have appreciated the bond of our friendship throughout these last three decades. And just, I can't even imagine, honestly, like a moment in my life that was one of those big moments that you weren't there. I mean, our weddings and our careers, and we've shared just so much over the years. But
me too. I mean, it's a matter of whenever there's a big moment, whether it is a really happy moment, and unfortunately, or a real sad moment, I know I can pick up the phone and call you. And I know sometimes you have your phone on do not disturb. That's another inside joke. But I know that, you know, like when I call you twice, you always pick up the phone, even if you're in a meeting. You're like, is everything okay? And I might be like, yes, I just have the funniest story to tell you. And you're like, well, I'm actually in a meeting. It's just that you called twice, so I wanted to make sure you're okay. But yeah, I mean, we've shared, you know, everything together. And it is awesome. And it's good to know in life that there's at least one person that will drop everything for you if you need them, you know, no matter what day, no matter what hour. It's really awesome to know. So I love you. I don't want to get emotional either.
I know. I love you too. And you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't pull something out of one of those letters you wrote me and read it, right?
Oh my God, I hate you.
No, it's a cute one. Okay, so this is, I'll put this on the show notes. It's a, you know, from 1986. It's a card, and on the front of it, it has one little cute animal, and she wrote Tam, and then in the middle, it's like one other person running towards the other person, Trace and Tam, and then the two people hugging. And she wrote in the card, apparently I was having a bad day when you sent me this card, and it says that you said, Trace, you're a survivor. I can't even picture your face without a smile on it. And please, Tracy, don't change. Anyone who doesn't love you for who you are isn't worth worrying about. Just remember that. I love you, Tam.
Aw, I'm so nice. And our other friend, so nice. KJ, is throwing up right now.
Oh, my gosh, yes. It's a ladies' room episode. That's awesome. That we would add KJ on, too. So.
Well, I'm glad you read that one instead of some of the other ones you read me.
Well, we'll keep those in the vault. Those are the blackmail
stock. Yeah, we'll
stock,
keep those in the vault.
I guess we'll have to exit the ladies' room. Do you have your lipstick on? You looking good?
I do. My hair is looking decent. We're good.
Okay, yeah. I got on my pink mini skirt.
Hey, that's my pink mini skirt.
Oh, yes. Let's revisit with Russ and see if he's been bored without us. Russ, are you there?
Is it okay? It's okay for me to come back in now?
We could have gone on forever.
Can I uncover my eyes?
Yes,
you can.
So how was it, ladies? Was it good?
It was really good. It was really good.
Did you guys get to reconnect?
We did, but we don't do what you guys think, that we're always giggling and having pillow fights. So we didn't do any of that. We just took a trip down memory lane.
Yeah, there were no pillow fights in the ladies' room, but some really good memory shares and some really good takeaways about how to maintain the relationships in your world. And one of those comes down to valuing people for who they are, where they are. And that is something that I think is my biggest takeaway for today, is just, you know, look around you and who. If you don't have your friend that you've had for 30 years, but they're your best friend of 3 years or however long it's been, just make sure to express gratitude and never take those relationships for granted, because those are the people who know you and love you and can always remind you where you came from and celebrate where you came from.
Okay. And was there any crying?
There were some
choked up moments.
Well, it was a little bit of a verklempt feeling.
Okay, for the gentlemen that listened to the show, did we lose every one of them? Guys, I got your back, guys.
I don't think so. I think we were fascinating because we're each other's biggest fan, right, Tam?
We were fascinating. Okay. Fascinating.
All right, I love it. All right, so we will, for our listeners, we're going to have more of these ladies' room episodes. Obviously, they're not going to be with the two giggle monsters here. And we'll probably get a little more serious next time. You guys had fun, though, right?
Yes.
We did. We had a blast. I did.
So fun.
That's what it's all about.
And if you have a topic that you want to submit to us to cover in the ladies' room, don't hesitate to send us an email or leave us a message on our website. Leave us a voicemail on SpeakPipe and let us know what kind of topics you would want to hear now that we have this new opportunity to go a little deeper into the female topics of things, into the ladies' room.
Okay. So, Tammy, I want to thank you so much for being a part of the show and giving me a little bit of a break and entering into the ladies' room with Tracy.
It was so fun. Thank you guys both for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Don't hang up your bag phone just yet, because I just need to close out the show. So along with Tracy DeForge and the lovely Tammy, what do we call her? What was the one I really...
Oh, Turbo
like?
Tam.
Turbo Tam.
Yeah.
Along with Tracy DeForge and Turbo Tam, I'm Russ Reba. Visit iTunes or Facebook and please leave your comments or suggestions about the show or the new feature and about Journey to There. Keep listening, keep downloading, and keep sharing. Let us know how you like the new feature, and please be sure to let us hang out with you at the intersection between personal and business growth on the next episode of the Journey to There radio show.
That was fun. That was my first podcast.
Yay!
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.